While they were singing, I was just reminded of this verse of Scripture. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Just as the song says, how will they ever know that I love them unless you tell them? How will they ever know unless you tell them? God said, I've chosen the foolishness of preaching to tell the world that Jesus Christ died for them and that he loves every creature that was ever born. Some of us think that preaching is only what the preacher does. But the Word of God says that we are to preach the Word in season and out of season. And preaching can be to 100, 1,000,000. It's still preaching the Word. And each and every one of the children of God have a preaching ministry. Not everyone has a pastoral ministry, but not everyone has an evangelistic ministry or the ministry of an evangelist. But every one of the children of God have a ministry of preaching, declaring the Word that God Almighty loves the world. And that he sent Jesus Christ to die. Paul says we're ambassadors for Christ, declaring that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their sins unto them. That's the good news. God has already taken the sins of all of the world and he's laid them on Jesus Christ. He is no longer imputing or accounting the sins of the world against the people. He has already provided forgiveness, complete and total, in Jesus Christ. And the message of the gospel to the world is this: God does not hate you. God does not hold anything against you. God loves you in Jesus Christ, his Son. And if you will receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be delivered out of the kingdom of darkness. You shall be set free from the penalty of your sin. And you shall be set free from the power and the dominion of every evil work in your life. That's the good news of the gospel. God is not out telling people what great sinners they are. He is declaring his message of love in Christ Jesus. That's the good news. I love you, God says. I forgive you. I laid your sins on my Son. And if you will simply believe that and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and as your Lord, you shall be saved. Just believe and receive. Glory to God. It's so simple. It's so simple. I don't know why it took me so long to understand it. Do you? It's such a simple, simple message. Hallelujah. 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 But it doesn't matter today whether you're 6 or 60 or anywhere in between or on both sides of it. If you can understand what I'm saying, you don't know that Jesus Christ is your Savior and your Lord. You can know it today. You hear the words that God's given you today. He loves you. And I'm doing what he told me to do. I'm telling you, he loves you. He died for you. And now he lives for you. And won't you, everyone, live for him? Won't you, everyone, live for the one who died for you? Jesus of Nazareth. Praise God. Let us pray. Father, I'm asking you, if there be one here or more today that know not the salvation that you have so freely given, that by your Spirit you would take the words that have just been sung and spoken, by the power of your precious Spirit, you would minister that message of love and forgiveness to that one or those ones. Draw them so close to you, Father, that they can feel your love, sense your nearness, manifest yourself plainly, drawing by your Holy Spirit, so that everyone would truly believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, receive Him as Savior, trusting in Him for salvation, and be born anew. I ask you for it, believing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, God did so much for us in Jesus Christ. We have opportunity to do for Him, too. And some would say, well, isn't that silly that God, He's a great big God, how could we ever do anything for Him? But God has called you as His children into partnership with Him. You are His army on the earth. And it is through you and through me and through our brothers and sisters in churches everywhere that the work of the kingdom of God will come to pass. Jesus said the kingdom of God is within you. And God's work only is done in proportion to the willingness of His children to obey His voice and follow Him. One of the things that Jesus spoke to us through the scripture is give. And it shall be given unto you. Give, and it shall be given unto you. We have the opportunity as we come together to give of our financial and material resources into the kingdom of God, that God's gospel will go forth and that God's work will be accomplished. Now, if you brought something today to give to the Lord, I'm going to ask you if you'll take it out and just put it in your hand. It doesn't matter. Now understand this. Some of you brought a dollar. Some of you brought $100. Some of you may have brought $1,000 or more. Some of you may have brought a dime. Some of you may have brought a nickel. Some of you maybe didn't bring anything for God, but you have some money in your pocket, and you're deciding now how much it is you'd like to give to the Lord. Give as much as you can give cheerfully, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Knowing that you are to give as God has prospered you. And one thing I must remind you of, God is not concerned with the amount of your gift. God is only concerned with the importance of the gift to you. If your dollar is more important to you than the person's $1,000 next to you, God will honor your gift in the same way. Bless God. Bless God. He's not looking at the amount. He's looking at the condition of your heart as you give it. I always encourage you not to give out of compulsion. Don't you give just because it's offering time. Don't you give just because everybody thinks you should. You give because you love God and because you believe His word and you believe His gospel ought to be proclaimed and you want to take part in that. Now Jesus said, as you give, God will give back to you. He'll give back in the same measure that you and I give. So before we give this morning, I'm going to ask you just to hold your gift in your hand and just close your eyes. We're going to pray. We're going to claim God's promises over these gifts. Father, here gathered before you are your children, your sons and your daughters. Father, we hold in our hands a portion of our financial prosperity which you have given to us. We acknowledge that it is God who giveth us the power to gain wealth, whether it is meager or many riches. It's your power. We acknowledge that the reason we're holding something in our hand is because you gave us that in the first place. And so, Father, we do not give it to you compulsively or because we're obligated, but we give it to you because we love you. We merely return into your storehouse a portion of that which you have already distributed to us. And Father, we rejoice at being able to make these offerings. We thank you that you've called us into partnership and given us a partnership with you in the work of the kingdom. And as we give, Father, we dedicate these offerings to your service, to the work of the ministry, that the saints of God should be instructed and built up in the faith, that the sinner should be saved, that the sick should be healed, that the oppressed should be set free, and that the world should know that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And we claim your watch care over these gifts until that promise is fulfilled. Now, Lord, as we give, we expect also in accordance with your word for you to give back to us. Pressed down, hallelujah, shaken together, running over. We know that you will cause men to put into our bosom. For the measure that we're giving this morning, Father, is the measure that we expect to get back. We claim that promise from you, thanking you in advance for it. In Jesus' name, amen. The ushers would come forward and receive the offering. It's important to you, brethren. That we expect God to honor his word. That's why we pray the way we do. I thought I had the Lord figured out earlier in the week, but he showed me I didn't have him quite figured out. Praise the Lord. Turn to the 35th chapter, please, of the book of Exodus. You know, sometimes let me just share this with you while you're turning there. You find Exodus 35 while I'm talking to you. We miss God a lot, many times, because we assume that God's saying something he's not saying. Sometimes the Lord will reveal something to us and we make a judgment as to when that's supposed to take place, when God hasn't said when. Sometimes the Lord, what happened to me this week is the Lord began to deal with me about a particular passage of Scripture earlier in the week. I naturally assumed that that was this morning's message. All week long, he was dealing with me about it. I had it all figured out. I thought, well, praise God, that's good. I'm glad you gave it to me, Lord, so far in advance. But last night, he took me over to the 35th chapter of the book of Exodus and into 36. And I started reading. I said, well, that's real interesting. I thought it might fit in somewhere. But I was all ready to preach this other passage. And I can't get this passage of Scripture out of my mind. All last night, this morning, during the service, he keeps bringing it back. So the other passage of Scripture that he's given me, I know that he's going to have me minister that, but not this morning. Now, am I disappointed about that? No, I'm not disappointed about that, because all of God's Word is good. But the point I want to make is that if God does not specify the time, don't you. Because when you do, you just dig a hole for yourself when the time comes and goes and it doesn't take place. And you think God messed up. Well, God didn't mess up. You added to his word. Just take what he gives you and just receive it and relax and rest in the Lord. He'll take care of the rest of it. Amen? That's a good lesson. That may be what you came here for this morning. Exodus chapter 35, this has to do, this passage, with the construction of the tabernacle in the wilderness. Now, those of you that know this story or know something about it know that Moses went up onto the hill, onto the Mount Sinai, and he was there for 40 days. And God showed him how to build this tabernacle. The tabernacle that they were going to build in the wilderness was the place where the presence of God was intended to dwell. And that while God had been traveling with them by the pillar of cloud in the day and the pillar of fire at night, God now wanted a place that he could dwell in their midst. And he said to Moses when he was in the mount, "Build this tabernacle after the pattern that I shall show you." Now it's interesting, you wonder why didn't Moses get an architect and so on and get it all designed up? Because no architect had ever seen the heavenly tabernacle. There'd never been one built like that on the earth. God said, "I know what it looks like. I'm going to tell you, Moses, what it looks like, and you build it after my pattern." When Moses came down, he shared it with the people. He said, "This is the way we're going to build a tabernacle." And God gave also instruction as to how to do it. Now, those of you that were with us when we were still meeting over at the EMC, I guess about July, remember a message that was ministered out of the 35th chapter of the book of Exodus, the earlier verses, where the Spirit of God fell upon that place in a way that I had rarely seen the Holy Spirit come upon a people. And he moved in a powerful way that day. And that was a message, a stewardship message, if you'll recall. It was a message about how Moses, under the instruction of God, had told the people to bring their offerings into the storehouse for the construction and the equipping of the temple. And do you remember that day that about 100 people in that auditorium there at the EMC, how many of you were there that day? There were 100 and, I don't know, a little over 100, including the nursery. And on that day, $7,300 was given in the way of a free will offering, and you're sitting on it today. This is what you're sitting on. And your children are on it upstairs. Okay? This is a powerful passage of Scripture. You know, if you do things the way God says do them, God will honor it and God will be in it. All right, I just wanted to call that to your attention about the giving of the offering. Now, I'm not going to ask you for an offering this morning, or at least I don't think so. But God went on to tell Moses how to do the work. He not only told him how to raise the money, he not only told him how to build it, but he told him the way to construct it. I mean, the way to go about doing it. Now, I want to begin reading today in the 30th verse of the 35th chapter. You know that God has supplied the money for our renovations here in the auditorium in this lower level. And we're ready to move ahead on that. And I just feel that God would have us to see this passage of Scripture this morning as it relates to us. And I want you to see it not from its historic context, but I want you to get the Word of God for us today. And Moses said unto the children of Israel, "See, the Lord hath called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of of the tribe of Judah. And he hath filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom, in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, and to devise curious works, to work in gold, and in silver, and in brass, and in the cutting of stones to set them, and in carving of wood to make any manner of cunning work. And he hath put in his heart that he may teach, both he and Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan. Them hath he filled with wisdom of heart to work all manner of work, of the engraver, and of the cunning workman, and of the embroiderer, in blue, and in purple, and in scarlet, and in fine linen, and of the weaver, even of them that do any work, of those that devise cunning work. Then wrought Bezaleel and Aholiab, and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding, to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary, according to all that the Lord had commanded. And Moses called Bezaleel and Aholiab, and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even every one whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it. And they received of Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary, to make it withal. And they brought yet unto him free offerings every morning. And all the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary came every man from his work which they made. And they spake unto Moses, saying, The people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, Let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing. For the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much. Hallelujah. Let's just have a word of prayer, and we'll ask God to give us, to open this scripture up for us this morning, all right? Father, we thank you for your word, and we know it is your word. We take it as instruction for us, Father, because you said in the New Testament that what happened in the wilderness was meant to be an example for us. And that you said all of the word of God is inspired by your spirit, and that it is profitable for our instruction. So we receive this, Father, as your word, and more importantly, Father, as your word for us. Our prayer, Father, today, and our supplication is that you would open up this your word so simply, so clearly, that each one of us, young and old alike, would have no difficulty understanding how it relates to us today. For we are your inheritance. We are your chosen ones, chosen in Christ. We are blessed because our God is the Lord. Speak to us, Father, today under the anointing of your Spirit. And give us today your word. In Jesus' name, amen. It's curious that in sharing this scripture and looking at it, I didn't see this scripture until after we had made certain arrangements about the construction of this renovation work. As I said earlier, the Lord has provided the funds so that we have the funds available to do, the way it appears, the bulk of it, not all of it. My prayer to the Lord has been that he calls it to stretch, to make it do, so that we can do the whole thing. About 6 months ago, when we were planning the work, the Lord, the Spirit of God, moved upon one man in our congregation, in particular. We were still at the EMC. And that individual said to me one day after the service, he said, Vic, he says, I feel that the Lord wants me to work on the supervising of this work, to do this construction work. And God had already been moving on my heart for several weeks about that man. The Spirit of God told him, you're my man. The Spirit of God told me, he's my man. And when he mentioned it, I knew it was right. Subsequently, the board determined that a helper should be selected for him, so that there would be two, your number one man and your number two man, if you will. Didn't know this passage of scripture was even in the Bible. And then one day I happened to be reading through here, and I saw that the Lord hath called by name Bezaleel and Aholiab. And do you know that we have a Bezaleel in our congregation? Did you know that God had anointed a Bezaleel here? You don't know him by that name. Do you know that God has anointed an Aholiab? Praise God, we don't know him by that name. Amen? Aholiab is listening over the intercom. He's upstairs and he's watching the nursery. I'm going to ask him to come down in just a little bit. But I want to share what God has done and is doing in this particular thing out of the scripture. First of all, I want you to see who it is that qualifies those whom God has called to do whatever work it is in the work of the kingdom of God. It is God himself. He is the one that does the calling. In the 35th chapter, the 30th verse, "And Moses said unto the children of Israel, See, the Lord hath called by name Bezaleel." God has called Bezaleel. I didn't call him. You didn't call him. The board of elders didn't call him. The building committee didn't call him. God Almighty called him. God called Bezaleel. The calling is from God. The service that the Bezaleels of this world perform is unto God. It's not unto man. It's not unto the church. It's unto God. Because the calling is from God. It's God who calls. Now look at the 34th verse. "And he," that is God, "hath put in his heart that he may teach both he and Aholiab." God Almighty has equipped these men to teach how to devise cunning works, how to nail the boards right, how to lay the carpeting right, how to put the walls upright, how to lay the ceiling in right, how to put the lighting in. Sometimes we get mixed up and think that God's way is by committee. God didn't ever send a committee to do a job. God sent men, and God sent women, anointed by the power of the Holy Spirit to do the work of God. Now don't misunderstand. God has given through our building committee. God has given through our furnishings and our decorating group divine guidance by his Holy Spirit as to how this tabernacle is to be constructed. And now the anointing of God rests upon men to see that it's done the way God wants it done. The Bible says that I am the Lord thy God, I change not. If he built his first tabernacle this way, he will build all of his tabernacles that way. Now men can build tabernacles for God. But if you want to have God's tabernacle, God will have to be the master builder. He will have to be the one who will teach. He will have to be the one who will lead. He will have to be the one who will direct and guide by his Holy Spirit. And we will have to be the ones that trust God to work in his divine order. Do you hear what I'm saying? Do you hear what I'm saying? Do you hear what I'm saying? Unfortunately, I see now why God wanted this message brought this morning. I see it now. Do you know what causes most problems in churches? Building programs. Building programs. Because someone wants the walls yellow and someone else wants them green. Someone wants white chairs and someone wants gold chairs. Someone wants a soft wall and someone wants a hard wall. Someone wants wood and somebody wants wallpaper. And the first thing you know, somebody gets their nose out of joint because the church wasn't built the way I want it. Therefore, I'm going to another church. But they don't want to build over there the same way, see? Do you understand what I'm saying? God has a divine order. I see it now. Praise God. God's got a divine order in how he does things. God doesn't set up dictators. Don't misunderstand me. But God anoints men and women with authority from on high, with wisdom and with power and with knowledge to do his work. Read chapter 36. Well, let's read 35 and 36. God's anointing is resting not only upon Bezaleel and Aholiab, but it is also resting upon each and every one of you who are going to work with them to bring to reality the plan that God has shown us. Then wrought Bezaleel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted workman, that's the rest of us, in whom God put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary, according to all that the Lord had commanded. Moses called Bezaleel and Aholiab, every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put the wisdom. God is the one who calls. God is the one who qualifies. God is the one who instructs and teaches and anoints with wisdom. Now we think, we all understand how God gives wisdom concerning spiritual things. God gives wisdom concerning the Word of God. God gives wisdom concerning religious things. But he really wouldn't give wisdom concerning what color to paint the walls, would he? He really wouldn't give wisdom as to what kind of materials to put in the doors, would he? Or would he? You can be assured that God does give that kind of wisdom. And he puts it into the heart of those who he has called and those who have answered yes. Now, why isn't that same wisdom put in everybody's heart? Because there are two reasons. One of them is this: every person does not have the same call. And the second one is like unto it, and it's in the second verse of the 36th chapter, the end of it. Everyone whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it. If your heart is stirred to answer the call of God, to be a willing workman in the tabernacle of God, and to do the work that God's ordained be done here, then God will put the wisdom in your heart and the skills in your life to do what he's called you to do, if you'll be willing. First, the call of God. Secondly, the willing response from the son or from the daughter. Third, the equipping or the qualifying because of that willing heart. And fourth, the reality or the outworking of that which God has intended in the first place. Now that's what we're going to see happen here over the next several months. The scripture says that the people of God brought all that was necessary to do the work. The Spirit of God anointed the men and women to do the work and gave them wisdom to know how to do it. It's God's work, it's God's anointing, and it's God's result. I would like for us today, while we're together and having shared this word, this being the pattern of God, I want to get Bezaleel and Aholiab to come forward. And I want to lay hands upon them and set them apart to the work that God has called them to. And I'm going to ask an usher, if you will go upstairs and get Aholiab. Do you know who that is? No, Bruce Ophi. Bruce, right. I'm glad I told him that. Come down with the wrong guy. While he's doing that, let me call your attention to verse 5 and then verse 7. They spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. Verse 7, for the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it and too much. Now, we may not have everything already in the storehouse that we need to completely finish the job. I don't know whether we do or not. But I'm believing God's word that if we build this tabernacle the same way Moses and the children of Israel built the one in the wilderness, that when there's a need, the people of God will have come together and have supplied it, so that we'll have enough and too much to do it all. Not just part of it, but all of it. I believe God's big enough to do that, don't you? All right, then I want to ask you to do something with me. Turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Philippians. Chapter 4. And then turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I want to share two verses of scripture there. Philippians 4, verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Not according to our want, but according to his riches. If he's got it, he'll supply it. Now, if God's in trouble, then we're in trouble. But if God's got it, he'll supply it to us. Then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, the latter part of it. Ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. How many of you are believers in the word of God? Let me see your hands. The Bible says that we are to maintain a good confession. Would you just maintain a good confession behind me? I believe that my God shall supply all my needs by his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. I know that my needs are already met because the word of God works in me because I believe it. It is the word of God. Therefore, God shall supply all my needs. Amen. That's the truth. That's the truth. God will do it. God will do it. That's his word. The word of God works in those who believe. I believe in his word. Therefore, I believe all my needs are already met. And all the needs of our church and our fellowship are already met. God's got a work to do in this place, and he's going to supply the need. Amen? All right, let me ask Bruce Ophi, also known as Aholiab, if he'll come forward. And Ron Moon, also known as Bezaliel. I'm going to ask also as many elders as we have here this morning, would you stand and come also, please? Just gather around. Where's our building committee? Where's our building committee? You come too. Those of you that were part of or have been part of this building committee, you come also. Okay. All right, are we going to just lay hands upon these brothers and set them apart in accordance with Exodus 35 and 36, that God has anointed you with the spirit of wisdom and of the ability to teach and instruct and guide in the construction of Ufanako. Hallelujah. 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 We don't hurry up and get hands on you. God's going to go ahead and take care of it before we can do it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, we lay our hands upon our brothers in the name of Jesus. We believe, our Father, that you have anointed and called these men to this word. We believe your wisdom, Father, to be in them. We believe your knowledge, Father, to be in them. We believe your skill to be in them, and that they are wise, hard working for you. We believe, our Father, that they'll exercise judgment that you shall give them by the power of your Holy Spirit in bringing to pass the perfect work that you desire to have done here. We thank you for it, Father.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you.
In Jesus'
name.
In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Okay, bro. My prayer is that he touched you today in some special way. My prayer is that each one of you who are here this morning have been touched by the hand of the Master. I've been touched. I pray he touched you too. Now take what God has given you today and go touch someone else with it. Share the love that is Jesus Christ with others right about you. In the name of Jesus, Father, we give you thanks for the time of worship today. We thank you for all that you've accomplished here, Lord, that we realize, that which has not yet become manifest. We praise you, our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, who is the light of our life. Now, Father, cause our light to burn brightly within us and cause it to shine forth the good news that Jesus Christ loves the world. In his name we pray. Amen.